Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Why do I take my car to Raleigh Tire? Simple. That's where Dad always went. Michelin, Continental, BF Goodrich, and all brands of discounted tires. Raleigh Tire is always taking care of us. Honest, dependable, full service at every location. Some places say they treat you like family. I'm looking for how they treat my family. Cordova, Arlington, Collierville, Austin Peay, Olive Branch. Raleigh Tires keeps you rolling. Five locations. Visit RaleighTire.com.
Hey, everybody. This is Coach Penny Hardaway. When I want to throw a party for friends or family, I want it to be a taste of Memphis, and that means Corky's Barbecue. Order online or call ahead and pick up at their speedy drive-thru. And be sure to tell them that Penny sent you.
Your voice. Your vote. In our democracy, they matter and make our community and our country stronger. So make yours count. Get registered. Learn the issues. Know the candidates. And vote fire on November 3rd. Visit vote411.org for registration and election information. This message is furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
We're brothers. We're happy and we're singing and we're happy.
It's Jason and John on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Who that? Who that? This what you've been waiting for. I mean, the game was all bad just a week ago. Rappers was listening, I ain't hating though, cause now I'm getting hot enough to we wanna stay at home. And she can't tell the difference. I've been through hell conditions, wishing for air conditioning, feeling God was never listening. Now I'm on television. And did I fail the mission? Your girl is hot, a missionary, boy, you failed the mission. Speaking of positions, just witness how I elevated. Real if you celebrate it, finger poke whoever hated. My life accelerated, but had to wait my turn, then I redecorated. That mean my table. Live life, might as well, only way to learn is try and fail, clientele, the only way to earn. So if you're selling, or if you're selling rap, make sure it's mean so the fiends keep on selling back. Who that, who that, I got that flame. Who that, I got that flame. Who that, I got that flame. So don't worry about my name, I got a flame.
All right, you're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Welcome to your Friday. September 11th. Obviously, what that was a short.
Damn, they pulled the hook on you
well,
over there.
I think too. Probably didn't need one because we're all to our thoughts and prayers as we reminisce on 19 years ago and where we all were and what New York went through. The tragedy that was 9/11. We are 19 years removed from it. Still feels fresh. Still feels like an open wound, I guess you would say. And it certainly does this time of year. It's one of those things, I heard Jeff talking about it, that you go through, where were you during those times? We all remember, certainly. And something we'll be talking about today, I'm sure. Also be talking about football as well. Kansas City came out, looked awfully good last night. So did the Los Angeles Lakers on the NBA side of things. We'll get to that. And, John, looks like the University of Memphis will not be getting Nolan Smith.
Yeah, all of that for sure. Skip Bayless with some very controversial comments regarding Dak Prescott and mental health that we will touch on. Before we move on, I do want to say, I it is 9/11, and rather than sort of go, because we sort of, you know, we do this every year, right? We talk about where we were and what we were doing at that moment. You see these memoriams, right? And they're well intentioned, and whether it's from schools across the country will have their sort of brand, and they'll have the Twin Towers with the light, and you'll see the words "Never Forget." And with all due respect, I don't think you can. I don't think people have to be told not to forget. Because, I mean, if anything, I think people wish they could.
Well, that's fair. Certainly.
If you live through that moment and if you live through that day, it is one that for as long as you live, you cannot put out of your memory. So I would just say that I don't think you have to worry about people forgetting that day.
No, I'm with you, and that's why I said open wound. And you're in thinking about this and didn't plan to do this right now, but the graphic nature of it all, that it's hard to forget. But from the standpoint of where we were as a country, I was talking about this with Jeff, though.
Yeah.
And how we had to come together.
Yep.
Because all of us were feeling that pain, and all of us, quite frankly, in terms of no matter what walk of life you were in that building or you knew someone affected by it, it crossed racial lines, right? We all had to sort of come together. Remember, that was the way through. And that's what everybody was preaching at that point. And you look 19 years later,
yep,
right? We're booing unity lines and showings of unity, feeling more divided than ever. Maybe that's the part of it. Sure, you're right. We're never going to forget the graphic nature of it, where we were, because it was all so surreal that day.
Yeah.
But that part of it, that part about how we move forward as a nation, that spirit is gone.
Yeah.
And so it is. In terms of getting that back, maybe so. No, I agree with you 100%. That's why I said open wound. And for so many people, it still is, right? People that were affected by it directly, had family members there. But have we forgotten the spirit of that thing, too, in terms of what we needed to do as a country to move forward, right? And right now, certainly, it seems like we're all going in opposite directions in many cases.
I think you're right. And that's a very disheartening fact of where we are.
Unfortunately, it's just true, yeah, 2020.
But you hate that it took such a devastating event for us to come, but there was, I don't know how long it lasted. I mean, I have no idea, but I remember you could not go anywhere, after 9/11 and not see an American flag. People were putting American flags on their cars.
Right.
They were putting American flags in front of their houses
and saluting first responders, right?
We were all unified
in that.
We were more, I think, together as a country than, you probably got to go back to the World Wars, right? In terms of the patriotism that we felt. I don't know why that is, but...
it was like us against them at that point,
yep,
which sort of has its own galvanizing effect. And now,
exactly,
now it's like us against us.
Exactly. And that is incredibly disappointing.
It is incredibly
disappointing that it doesn't even take an act from somebody else for us to come apart. So hopefully that someday changes, Jason. Vote. November of this year. I'm registered. I made sure of it. That was cool. I got the card in the mail.
Proud of you.
So I have never voted. I've tried to vote once, and it did not count for some reason. I think I went to the wrong place. Because me and my dad have the same name.
Ah.
You know what I'm saying? And so I think I ended up voting for my dad, who's still with us, but they didn't count it. So we got a big show planned for you today. NFL kicked off last night. It was just awesome. Like, it was just it was like an old friend coming to visit, and you're right there in your living room, and you're watching Patrick Mahomes, Super Bowl champion, take on the dynamic, or at least we thought maybe would be dynamic, Houston Texans. Not so much maybe in practice. So that happened last night. We're going to be joined by Aki Collins, Mike Keith of the Tennessee Titans is going to hop on. He, of course, is the voice of the Tennessee Titans. If I'm a Titans fan, I'm feeling pretty damn good today. I mean, I'm feeling good anyway, right? I'm feeling good anyway because I got Jadeveon Clowney, I got Derrick Henry, I got A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
But I'm feeling a whole hell of a lot better because, to me, the biggest competition in that division is not the Indianapolis Colts and, friggin' limp, dead, arm Phillip Rivers. It's Deshaun Watson and the Texans. And
possibly.
I got to say, and listen, maybe I would be proven wrong because the Indianapolis Colts are more of a fundamentally sound team, and, they're
offensive
good on both
line,
sides of the ball.
Quarterback. Yeah.
But I kind of have to see it from them.
Phil was horrible last year.
I mean, he was absolutely, and trust me, I know because I watched him, twice a year. He had nothing left to me last year. Now, maybe he's renewed and all that. But
Frank's
I got
a little
see
bit
it.
Of a whisper or two. We'll see.
Yeah. But last night was certainly not an inspired performance from the Houston Texans. So we're going to talk to Mike Keith about that. what this year could look like for Derrick Henry. Can he really do it again? Ryan Tannehill starting to try to replicate what he did last year. So that will happen at 11:45. At 12:25, Ben Golliver has been in the bubble since 2004.
Whole time, right?
Yeah, he has been down there for a long-ass time.
Before it was even a bubble.
He's got a book coming out eventually about his time there in the bubble, so it would stand to reason that he would stay down there for the entirety of the bubble. So he's going to join us at 12:25. We will talk to him about Game 7 tonight. Boston and Toronto, the Lakers. Listen, we both agree that that series is probably going 5, maybe 6 if they're lucky.
I was a little worried about it after game one.
Looked a little shaky, but they've gotten control, like you said. So we will talk to Ben Golliver about all of that and more at 12:25. The Grizzlies made a hire. Get his thoughts on that as well. So anyway, that is the show today. I guess sort of there are a number of things to discuss from last night, right? The first thing is there was a moment of unity, as they put it, right, where everybody comes out to the field and they lock arms and they have a moment of silence, basically, for, you know, social injustices and police brutality and things of that nature. And there were 17,000 or so fans in Arrowhead last night. And they were loud. I give it to them. I mean, they made that thing sound pretty packed.
It did.
For 17 grand.
Cool.
But unfortunately, and I'm always hesitant to sort of make this about an entire fan base, but there definitely were audible boos during that moment of unity. And perhaps we should not be surprised by that, but it did happen. And I'm
surprised by how loud it was. I'll just be honest with you.
I noticed it, and I was like, it's a moment of silence, right? It's a moment of silence, and you hear the boos. And it was disappointing. It was disappointing.
It was shut up and play football. It was, I paid my tickets, and, you know, if you're not going to stand, a little bit of, you're not going to come out for the anthem, Houston Texans, you know, we're going to give it to you right now because we're, I think for a majority, or at least it sounded like a majority, and maybe, again, you know, because it's a small crowd, maybe it's only half of it that's coming through at you, but it felt like just play football. And, again, made this point with Jeff, it's not just black players out there. Right, you had white players too in this show of unity, and they're feeling it too. They're getting that rain down to the so this idea, right, that we this shut up and play football, let's face it, or shut up and dribble, that's been sort of focused on black athletes, right, and speaking their minds and their causes and concerns right now, was directed at all of them. And so for a J.J. Watt who commented afterward that he didn't understand it, right, they felt, quite frankly, what black folks been getting for years now.
Yep.
And so that was the that to me, John, because we said this from the get-go. Black folks can't solve racism. Black folks can't fix this, right? It's going to take white folks. And so I feeling that, I figure that and feeling some disgust in that, I would imagine I could see it on J.J. Watt's face. Hopefully, like you said, it galvanizes some people who may not have been there, who may not fully understand how bad this is, right? How ridiculous this is that okay, you like us when we're like we said with Memphis and the decal. You like us when we're scoring touchdowns for you, right? And we're breaking records for you.
Yep.
But when we start talking about the things that concern us, the things that are on our hearts, right? And are absolutely, you know, at times have got us crying.
Yep.
You don't want to hear it anymore. And so I just wonder, John, because you saw too yesterday, and I don't know if you intended to go here, but the Dolphins yesterday, you saw the video. They've basically pointed out they're not going to come out for the anthem either. And in this sort of effect that, you know, we're tired of the symbolic gestures, right? We want some action, which we get. And I wonder too if the Texans saw that and said, you know what, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to stay inside. And I just think there's some of that from both sides, right?
There is.
There's some people that want the change, right, and are done with the symbolic gestures, knowing we need change, let's get to the action. And then the other folks on the other side who are just tired of the symbolic gestures, probably too want some action, but for different reasons, right, because they're sick of all the talk for another reason. So, so again, it's unfortunate it happened. It doesn't surprise me that it did. It surprised me how loud it was.
Yeah.
Just how ready folks were to get on with it. I guess shouldn't we have expected this though?
Yeah.
You know, the sort of the NFL videos, this kind of the show of unity, at least to start, you were gonna get this. And I guess we should have expected to get the boos to go with it.
Well, a couple of things. One, even Chris Collinsworth, I don't know if you heard it, he attempted, I guess, to be profound, but he wasn't. He said something right before the broadcast started, right before the game started. He said,
let's just go ahead and get this out of the way. I stand with the players. Now let's go play some football.
It feels obligatory.
Right, and it's just like, with all due respect, I understand where he was coming from. I understand that he probably had gotten, like, CBS. He had probably gotten a memo not to spend lots of time on, you know, these particular topics. And so he did want to make his stance known. But you can't just get this out of the way. Know what I'm saying? Like, this isn't something that you can just put to the side. All right, we'll worry about that later. We acknowledge it. Great. Let's play football. That's not how it works. I would have recommended, if you're going to do that, you know, go about it a different way, or don't acknowledge it at all. Just call a game, right? And the other part of this, before we get into sort of the actual football that was played, I cannot relate to the ability to only see these people as athletes. I can't. These are real human beings with real issues that they face, and the amount of money that they make does not absolve them from issues in their community, which they go back to.
Mm-hmm.
Are they privileged? Of course. Everybody that is in the NFL or the NBA or Major League Baseball or whatever is privileged, but that doesn't mean that they were always privileged, and it doesn't mean that their communities and their families don't face those issues every single day, mm-hmm. because they do. And so what I can't for the life of me understand is how you can separate, right? How do you separate, you know, the human from the athlete? How do you watch a game, right? And not,
I think it's easy for some people.
I don't know how, because I empathize. Like, I get it. I think reasonable people should and do. But how do you separate a human from an athlete? Because a person is, and this kind of goes back to Skip Bayless in a way. It's not race related, but it's the same sort of mindset to me. But because this person is a...
It might have been, though. You wonder if he'd say the same thing about an Aaron Rodgers or somebody else.
Yeah. I mean, he's a pro athlete. Therefore, he has no issues. Therefore, he sees no problems. Therefore, he encounters no kind of resistance in America. Because he's the quarterback of Dallas Cowboys, he's not allowed to have a moment of vulnerability or a moment of weakness when his brother commits suicide. He's not allowed to feel
human feelings. Shut up and play football in a different form.
Because what? Because he's a quote-unquote leader of men? And I think the same goes for the race part of this. Because they're professional athletes and they make the money that they make, they can't feel racism. They can't encounter race. We've seen it. We've seen it time and time and time again. Sterling Brown, right?
Mm-hmm.
The player in Milwaukee, you know, he has tons of issues.
Former SMU guy.
Yeah. You know, and that's just one example. It happens, you know, more than we probably know. So I don't understand that. Apparently there were plenty of people in Kansas City, though, last night who are able to separate the human from the athlete. And I really resent that.
Well, part of that may be, John, that part of the nature of your job, right, is to get to know.
Yeah.
Athlete. And as fans, in a lot of situations, you're not having that opportunity, right? I'm just speaking individually of you.
Yeah.
And how you can't tell, because part of your job is getting to know these athletes, right? And part of your job is showing that they're more than that, whether it's a feature or whatever else. You see other sides of them besides just the playing.
Yeah.
You get to talk to them, you get to know them, all that kind of stuff. So I can see where it's a little bit different for a fan, a little bit easier, I would say, for a fan who doesn't, John, all they are is, you know, got guys 7 touchdowns for me last season. He's on my fantasy team.
Right.
He's not a person, but a product, quite frankly,
right,
in terms of what he provides, right, to a fan. So I can see where it doesn't surprise me at all, and it shouldn't surprise you either, that people are capable of that, of just
but
looking,
how did we
of not looking at the human.
So desensitized I would imagine, as a country.
Again, most of us, John, I think we get it, right? Most of us don't look at it that way, but there's a great many in this country. I mean, just look at it. There's a great many in this country who do, and I don't think we should be surprised by it in 2020.
I don't know, man. Maybe it's because
that's their entertainment,
right?
Right, we bring it up all the time. The Romans in the Colosseum, right? Oh, those folks, you know, they'd go out there, those gladiators, whatever. That was those folks' entertainment.
Yep.
And so that for a great many folks, that's all they are. Right, they're not human. They're just it's a game, and they are entertainment to you to take their mind their mind off their problems. You just go out and play a game for me, which is, what one hell of a way to look at it. Still in 2020,
I think both things can be true. I think you could still absolutely watch football and
have your mind taken off whatever it is, but also in the same breath acknowledge that, man, these guys have their own sort of set of issues that they're trying to, you know, overcome or fight back on.
Right.
And they're trying to use their platform.
Well, and Dak coming out doesn't do anything but humanize it. You know, Dak, yeah. And that's what I'm saying.
Well, who knows how many lives that might save.
Because exactly. That's what I'm saying is him coming out and showing that vulnerability, as you put it, for a great many people, right? Oh, wait a minute. If Dak Prescott, a guy I admire, I look up to, if he can do that, right, a leader of men can do that and still be a leader, I can absolutely go. But more importantly, not just, hey, I admit that I'm struggling with something in terms of mental illness, but go out and seek help.
Yep.
Because that's the biggest part of it, right, is that, you know, dealing with it and then yourself is not a way to fixing it.
Yep.
You in most cases you need the help, and so there's the admitting it publicly and to yourself, but there's also the admitting that I need help, which is the way forward. And
yep.
So look, he comes out with that part, humanizes it, and to your point, how could you separate the two when a guy's coming in and pouring his heart out like
yep.
that?
Yep.
And especially knowing what he's been through with his mother's death and then his brother's
and
suicide.
Add to that, you're isolated because of COVID. You know, so.
Add to that, you're watching black men getting killed on television and in viral videos all the damn time.
Yeah.
Right. And people are putting a mic in your face asking you, OK, well, how did we fix this? And like we said, it's not on black folks to fix it in most of these cases. It's going to take all of us. And so with everything going through, I mean, you're going to question it and say, oh, man, this was a bad move. You're going to lose the locker room. Like, where do they do that at?
No, FS1 apparently is where they do that at.
Apparently, even though they disagree.
But anyway, that was the preamble, right, to the game last night, and then the game did kick off, and I thought for a moment that Houston was going to put up a fight. You know, they score that touchdown with they go up. What is it, 7-0? They go up,
mm-hmm.
and you know, David Johnson rumbles in. And I'm like, huh, okay, well maybe Bill O'Brien knew what he was doing. Maybe. You know, DeAndre Hopkins.
I had that slight thought there.
Yeah, like he ran his course in Houston, and he's got these revamped sort of players. He's going to try to make it work, and maybe they got this strong run game now, and Deshaun's going to be Deshaun, and they'll make it work. And then, like, it didn't happen. It just never happened again. They didn't look explosive. They didn't look dynamic. The Chiefs look like the Chiefs. They look exactly like they looked last year. Maybe
a little
different
better.
In a way, yeah. But Mahomes is still Mahomes, and Tyreek Hill is still Tyreek Hill, and Travis Kelce is still Travis Kelce. But I saw a team in Houston. I mean, that's it's like you have two teams. They play a game. One team wins, one team loses. But sort of my bigger takeaway from that game was about Houston and what they won't be rather than what Kansas City will be. Kansas City's going to be – I mean, they look like a Super Bowl favorite again to me. Like they just pick up where they left off last year. Patrick Mahomes, you had a dynamic runner in Edwards-Helaire who just rumbled down the field, and maybe that's a wrinkle to their offense now. They didn't really even go to Tyreek Hill that much. He did score a touchdown there late, but, I mean, he wasn't even trying to take the top off the defense that much. I thought it was just a very pedestrian, for their offense, pretty pedestrian night, all things considered. For Houston, they're in trouble. I mean, there's no question that the DeAndre Hopkins trade was just absolutely stupid.
How many targets would you have gotten last night? 15 to 18?
Will Fuller got 10, which I think was like 51% or something along those lines. Like he got like 51% of their air yards. He ran, you know, I mean, he was the main guy, which is what you sort of expected, but he's not enough. He's not a wide receiver one. Brandon Cooks.
5 targets for him.
Yeah.
Catches.
Yeah, Brandon Cooks just okay, and you know it's a matter of time before he gets injured. David Johnson looked fine.
They're all speed guys, though.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the thing with their receiving core now.
Right, right.
Like,
there's
all speed guys, whereas DeAndre would just – he's always open, whether
exactly.
it's underneath or whatever else.
And I mean, if you look at Deshaun's numbers, they ended up fine, but they all came in garbage time. I mean, in the minutes that mattered, in the time of the game that mattered, he didn't do anything. I mean, he was not – he threw that bad interception where he got hit, just basically punted it to the Chiefs. I as somebody who has them in a winner's pool, I hate that. I don't think they're going to win that many games. I don't think they're going to contend in the division. I think that's good news for the Tennessee Titans.
It absolutely is, and that is one way to look at this. Mine was more the takeaway about the Chiefs because they're going to do it in a different way. But I'm to your initial point that you started the show off with, I think it absolutely probably is good news for the Titans to watch that bland Houston offense. I don't. There's a point where they were checking David Johnson on the sideline again. And now he came back and played or whatever else, but you wondered already, a guy who's been, you know, injury prone.
That's what he
if he's going to make it through an entire season
for them.
And that's what you that's what you get in return for this trade. So huge drop off there. And again, it wasn't just DeAndre Hopkins, one of the best receivers in the league. He was Deshaun's everything.
Yep.
Let's be real. It's one of the reasons you took him in fantasy, because Deshaun had those eyes for him where trouble or whatever, that's where he's going. He knew where he was going. The trust was there.
Yep.
And now he's got this receiving core that, again, I tell you, is mostly speed guys, right? And again, if you ain't taking the top off of it,
yep,
and you're talking about these guys cutting, it's not going to be as effective as it would have been as it was with a DeAndre Hopkins. So big difference there, and that's going to take some getting used to for him.
Yep.
I'm still not sure if they've got all the right guys from a receiving standpoint. Who knows on David Johnson in the run game? So from that standpoint, yes, yep, if you're a Titans fan, absolutely. You got to feel pretty good about where Houston is right now. I think KC ended up with 4 or 5 sacks. So getting to Deshaun Watson.
Oh, that's going
to
be a problem for them, too.
We've always said, look, Deshaun's getting to a point where, yes, he's holding on to it, but we said, yes, they have not done a good job protecting him, period, in the time that he's been there.
Yep.
And it looked to continue to be a problem last night. So for Titans fans, again, good. My biggest – I thought Houston was going to drop off, though. So for me, that's why it was more the Chiefs,
right,
than for Houston. That's
right,
why turning it to that side – the fact that they've got now, John,
yep,
this stud from LSU and Clyde Edwards-Helaire,
yep,
who last night goes for 138. It's the most a running back has had in a Mahomes start,
yep,
clearly looking to be the best back he's ever had. And he did it easy.
He did.
25 carries behind an offensive line that ain't known for its run blocking.
By the way, against a solid front seven.
Against
Houston,
a solid
Texans
front seven.
I mean, you got J.J. Watt
and healthy
and
right now, right?
Oh,
and they're,
yeah,
throwing J.J. at you in a bunch of – they're lining them up inside. And then outside to try to stop it, this kid goes for 138. And that's the scary part, is that if you're talking about whether or not this organization, KC, can be a dynasty, well, they're set up right now. Because of the way they set up the contract with Mahomes, you got Chris Jones paid, right? You're set up for that. But now that it looks like, John, they are rarely, it feels like, and again, it's one game,
yep,
but going to need Patrick Mahomes to be a 35 attempt or a 45 attempt guy,
yep,
right, throw it 50 times to win. When you've got a running back like this, who, again, behind an offensive line that wasn't dominant, it makes it look that easy against a pretty good front seven, as you say. They can win a different way. And that's the way, John, that you build a dynasty.
Yep.
It can't be Mahomes every week needing to throw for all that. It's got to be different ways. We saw it with the Pats. It wasn't always Brady throwing
because
for three.
You keep these defenses guessing.
100%. And now you've added that element to it. And I brought this point to you beforehand, and I was telling my man, Chiefs fan number one, Mark Healy, love him to death. Millington play-by-play guy, spent some time in radio with him, love him to death. He's a Chiefs fan. He deserves all that he gets. But my gosh, is it not the rich getting richer when the Chiefs can show the league last year, right, that you don't need a big-time running back to win a Super Bowl, and as a result, the league, trying to emulate you in the draft, allows a player of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and look, it was already going this way for running backs,
yep,
but the Chiefs just solidified it last year.
Yep.
He can drop all the way down to them, right, in the first round where he's at, and they benefit from him. They get a great running back now,
yep,
at the rookie cheap price, and just keep moving. It's a rich get richer, and now they've
got – Well, now you're going to see, like, NFL –
You didn't even need it, but now you got a stud.
Now running backs are going to start going higher and higher in the draft because now they're trying to find
I don't know if it'll totally reverse it, but, again, they,
yeah,
benefit from what they proved last year. You didn't know. Now they got a great one back,
yep,
there. I mean, this dude's a stud, and he can catch – what, he had 5 catches for 50-some yards in the LSU National Championship game. He can do that, too. Last,
yep,
night he only had 2, I think, for 0 yards or 2 targets or something like that.
Yeah.
That wasn't even part of it, but it will be. Because this dude is a stud,
he is,
and they're looking like they can beat you a bunch of – skin you a bunch of different ways.
Well, I look at the Texans, and I think that's just a classic case of if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? It was not – I mean, they were a playoff team last year. I mean, and I think for them, that's a good place to start. I mean, Deshaun Watson is very young. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins and Deshaun Watson could have been a 1-2 tandem that was there for 7-8 years. And I think this was a classic case of Bill O'Brien thinking he was the smartest guy in the room, trying,
yeah,
to outsmart everybody in the division.
Not going to pay DeAndre.
Yeah, we're not going to pay DeAndre.
We're
going to go out. I'll go get Brandon Cooks, and I'll go get David Johnson, and I'll go get, you know, whoever, and, you know, I'll make it work. No. Like, it ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. So, anyway, it was a very interesting night last night in the NFL. The Chiefs continue to roll. Texans start the season 0-1. We'll talk to Mike Keith about what that might mean for the Titans. When we come back, interesting developments on the University of Memphis basketball front.
Mm-hmm.
Nolan Smith update. Is he going to take the job here in Memphis?
or is he going to stay at Duke? We'll get into that when we come back. Jason and John on Eterna FM, ESPN.
Boomer Natural's comfortable, breathable masks offer three layers of protection enhanced with nano-silver technology. Get yours now at BoomerNaturals.com or stop by your local CVS pharmacy.
Hi, I'm a 2020 census taker. As I walk around your neighborhood, you'll see my census bag and ID badge. I'll also be wearing a mask and following local guidelines for everyone's safety. And behind other census taker masks, you'll find new graduates wanting to make a difference. Retirees or veterans giving back to their community. People committed to doing right by getting the nation's count right. We're coming to assist anyone who hasn't completed the census yet. We'll stop by to ask some simple questions that will impact funding and planning for things like healthcare, emergency services, education, and job training, along with determining congressional representation for the next 10 years. But right now is your chance to make a big difference. So come out and say hi at a safe distance. Time is running out, but there's still time to shape your future. Start here at 2020census.gov. Paid for by U.S. Census Bureau.
All law firms are not the same. There's only one Morgan & Morgan for the people.
So are you the type of guy that wants to look put together but doesn't want to spend hours shopping? I hear you. This is why there's Stitch Fix, your personal styling service that delivers hand-picked clothes right to you. Stitch Fix is simple and convenient. Sign up in just a few minutes. Try new styles in the comfort of your own home. And there's no subscription required ever. So, isn't it time to refresh your look? Get started today at StitchFix.com. Stitch Fix, personal styling for everybody.
This is time that matters. A window of time to help protect the ones you love. Your preteen benefits from staying up to date with their well visits. This is your window of protection. Schedule their well visit now. Brought to you by Merck.
Until she went to Triumph Bank the other day, Naya had never set foot in a bank. Naya just graduated from Freedom Prep. She's been a big part of the inner city rugby program. Naya started making a little money from her job at Girls Inc., but she didn't even have a checking account. And that's where Triumph Bank stepped in to help. They set Naya up with a checking account and her very first debit card. They showed Naya how easy it is to do their online banking with their mobile app. Not only that, the folks at Triumph decided to work with Inner City Rugby to teach more young people like Naya about financial literacy so they can feel more confident and can start to build brighter financial futures for themselves. Naya is the first of dozens in the program who will benefit from Triumph's personal touch. You can benefit too, of course. Triumph offers that same personal touch to everyone who steps through their doors. So go to their website at triumphbank.com. They're invested in the community and in making banking easy for you.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
Everybody rock with me because I'm up now. Took your girl and I'm scoring like I made the touchdown. Swerving and that Lambo doors go up, not on the bus now.
Used to man, it was nice seeing those teams back out on the gridiron last night. No better place to get in on all of the action with DraftKings. They're the leader in one-day fantasy sports. So to add to this week's excitement, DraftKings has millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs. If you haven't tried DraftKings yet, head on over to the App Store now because you don't want to miss this. Draft your lineup now. Feel the sweat like never before. Every run, every pass, every catch just means more with DraftKings. It's very simple. Pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Download the DraftKings app and use code WMFS for a limited time. New users and get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes. Don't miss out. Enter code WMFS to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. That's code WMFS only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Right before the game started last night, Jeff Goodman of Stadium had an interesting tweet, one that was certainly relevant here, very relevant to the University of Memphis. Memphis coach Penny Hardaway interviewed Duke director of basketball operations Nolan Smith for his assistant opening, but Smith has decided to remain at Duke per source. Smart move by Penny and even smarter for Kay to make sure he keeps Nolan. Will be a terrific coach. So that is that on Nolan Smith as an assistant at the University of Memphis. We talked about it here on the show before. Jeff Goodman actually came on with us about a month ago and mentioned Nolan Smith as a candidate. I wrote about him a little bit. He would have been, obviously, to me, an absolutely home run, seamless hire, almost too good, you know, like too good to be true kind of hire, because he's young. He's very active in the Durham community, right? He's an African-American, won a national championship, was a first-round draft pick. I mean, just checks off all the boxes.
And be tied in deep to that D.C. talent because of his stepfather, Curtis Malone.
You got the Duke pedigree. That matters, folks. It just does. You know, when you can go into a living room and say you played for Coach K, even though you might have been representing Penny, like the fact that you can go into a living room and say, I played for Coach K, mm-hmm. I coached under Coach K, I know what it takes to do this at the highest possible levels, and now I'm here with Penny, a legend. What are you doing? Why wouldn't you come to the University of Memphis? So it's definitely a blow. He was the guy. He was definitely the guy that Penny had circled and had hoped to get here. My understanding of sort of the situation there with Nolan is, you know, that he had sort of, you know, he knew the interest from Memphis, right? And he went back to Duke. Mm-hmm. And he said, look, I got this from Memphis. And he's not an assistant at Duke. Right,
he's director of ops.
He's on the bench, but he's not a coach. And we've talked about sort of the struggle there at that particular place because Coach K has a lot of guys he's got to take care of. You know, he's got Capel and Collins and a bunch of other guys that played for him or coached under him. That, you know, if they happen to be head coaches right now and they find themselves on their asses, they got a soft landing at Duke, for the most part, right? If they're worth anything, usually uh-huh. Coach K will help you out. And I think that sort of was the struggle there with Nolan. You know, he wants to be an assistant coach. He wants to be able to go out on the road. He wants to be able to, you know, recruit and sort of, you know, climb that professional ladder. And, you know, listen, director of ops is fine and good, but it ain't it's hard. You don't go from being a director of ops to being a head coach, okay? It just doesn't happen like that. So you got to climb that ladder. I'm assuming that, you know, he got some sort of a, you know, gentleman's agreement that he will be a head or an assistant coach the next time an opening is there. I mean, I think that was actually part of the condition. He got his deal redone at Duke. And you know what? Listen, sometimes that happens, man. Sometimes you get leveraged. I think he was sincerely considering the University of Memphis. Why wouldn't you? It's Penny Hardaway. I mean, he's the one who reached out to Memphis. It wasn't the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
He was the one who was really trying to get an interview with the University of Memphis, not the other way around. And sometimes, unfortunately, the way this business works is, you know, people use that as leverage. It happens in every field, in every industry. You're smart to do it. You should do it. And again, who can blame the kid, right? Or he's not even a kid. He's a grown man. Who can blame him because he's at his alma mater with the coach he won a championship with? Who can blame him for wanting to make it work there, right? I did this not quite to the highest level, right? I'm not on the level of Nolan Smith and Mike Krzyzewski, but once upon a time, I got an offer from the Clarion-Ledger.
Those days.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Were you going to go be a preps writer or a recruiting reporter?
I was going to be a recruiting reporter.
Oh, because that's above the preps.
Yeah, yeah. In my mind, it was. In my mind,
well, I think
it was.
We know for 4 years, you thought so.
Well, just check the readership on that.
Or the preps?
Preps versus recruiting. Just check the readership.
Recruiting gets the clicks.
Just check the readership. And fortunately, some way or another, 92.9 caught wind of that. And they said, you know what? We want you here. And I was like, well, of course I'm going to stay in Memphis. Of course I'm going to stay at 92.9. I love this place. And so I did. I wasn't going down there. I was actually prepared to leave, right? I was prepared to leave because that's just the way it was. But luckily I got that offer, and I'm very blessed and grateful that it happened because it gave me you in some way, shape, or form.
Sweet job.
And it allowed me to stay in my hometown. And I'm assuming that, again, that's kind of the way that Nolan Smith is feeling, right? Like he's got a choice here. Two great
options.
Somebody
say he just bought a house there too.
Yes, Brendan Marks, my colleague.
Covers, Duke for the Athletic.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I look at it a little bit like that. He had an opportunity with the coach that he won a championship with. And no, it's not an assistant job, so that kind of stings egotistically, right? Like he stayed to be in a director of ops instead of taking the assistant job.
I doubt it.
But it's a very unique situation.
Comes with a raise, I'm sure.
It does. And it comes with a raise. And
the other part of this is it ain't just he's not just stuck in a basketball ops position. I know he doesn't go out on the road, but you've still got his ties to D.C. if you're Duke, and that can only help. It's not like Kay needs a ton of help with recruiting and reaching out all over this country.
Yep.
But having the power of a Nolan Smith in D.C. and
that's
all those
right.
contacts, again, his stepfather, Curtis Malone, Giannotto's briefed us all on this well, being from up there, a grassroots king up there.
Yep.
Just still's got those ties and is basically a feeder
yep.
to know. And so having those relationships, sure, you don't go out on the road, John, but when they come on visits, you better believe Nolan Smith going to be all over them.
That's right.
And in many cases, running those recruitments because he's the one with the contacts. So you keep that in-house at all. Only helps you even from the and so I see it from a Nolan Smith standpoint of look I may not be an assistant at Duke but this is an awfully good position for me to be in. I'm still using my contacts. Eventually, as you
exactly.
say, I will be an assistant coach. So from that standpoint, I get it from Nolan Smith. Turn it to the Memphis side. I'm gonna say this. We've said these words a lot lately. It's a blow. We said it about Jalen Green, right? How'd Penny respond? Goes out and get Landers Nolly. You add DeAndre Williams to the mix. You lose Mike Miller. It's a blow. We both said it. What's he done? Going out and got Musa Cisse, Artario Morris, 2022, Josh Minot, 2021. The way Penny responds, you see where I'm going.
Yep.
And now it's we're saying the same thing about Nolan, and you're right. It is. But it's the way Penny's responded to these.
No, you're right.
That you can't be down about this one or, now what's going to happen now? Because he has responded in a way every time where he's missed out on these big ones, right? And Jalen was a big one. Losing Mike's a big one. Mike was one of the best assistant coaches in college basketball, clearly, especially from his recruiting ties, right? Big blow, no question. But look at the way Penny responds. And so it's always a rolling up of the sleeves for him.
Yep.
That I think if you're a fan of that program, you're somebody you have to be encouraged by that. Again, no, you don't get a guy that seemed to check all the boxes as Nolan Smith,
yep.
but you got to figure Penny's got something up his sleeve no matter at what point he is. Yes, it puts you, I said this with Jeff, puts you behind the eight ball.
Yep.
You got a season coming up. And the biggest part of this is not so much what he can do to recruit for right now and in the coming years. In terms of getting that relationship built with your players, because we're quickly approaching the start of a college basketball season. So from that standpoint, of course you want to have your guy in. But he has always responded, and I think in many cases, we've said it over and over again, and it was accurate in those cases, to it's a blow with rolling up the sleeves, going to work, and having not just an answer, not just an okay answer, but usually something that you should go, oh, wow, it leaves me now thinking, maybe it wasn't such a blow after all.
Right.
And so, but that's, again, a credit to Penny and the way he's worked and responded to these sorts of developments.
I think you put it absolutely perfectly, to be quite honest with you. I will say the one thing working against him now is the clock.
Clock.
Because the season
starts. People are locked in, right? And we're about to start.
In about, a month and a half, and guys are sort of getting their seasons in order. And
you're either pecking from a staff that's pretty intact right now
yep.
and going into its season
exactly.
or somebody that's out of the game.
So,
I'm with you there.
Yeah, that sort of is the difference between when Mike stepped down in June, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And now,
you're behind
the
eight ball in terms
of
time, from a time frame.
Again,
I'm with you.
Penny has shown that it is not wise to bet against him
mm-hmm.
Because when his back is against the wall is typically where he tends to do his best work. But I will say that, would it surprise me, and this is just sort of my speculation, not anything anybody's told me, but would it surprise me if he just elevated from within, given the sort of time
where
table?
We are now in the
yeah.
time?
Yeah. I mean, some of the names that they had interested in this job would just, I think, blow your mind, honestly. But at this point, it's – he's already informed several candidates that they have not gotten the job. Do you really want to go back and open that search up all over again? I don't know where he's at with that. But you're right. I mean, I think in the end, they have been able to – they got Musa with two assistants. They got Josh Minot with two assistants.
Artario.
I know. I'm going to be honest with you. It at least has been discussed just rolling with two. Yeah, that's.
I mean, they're getting it done with two right now.
It has been just save that salary, right? Mm-hmm. Just save that salary. It's been it's not going to happen, but it's been,
You can only have the discussion
around.
Because things are going well.
So I think the future is still bright for Memphis. I still think they're in line to have a very good season. We'll talk to Aki Collins about Nolan Smith at 125. And then I've got some thoughts on some potential lineups, too, that we can get into as well.
Sounds good.
I know you hating on some of my ideas. That's okay. That's nice. That's par for the course.
Oh, you heard I was hating this morning?
Oh, yeah, I heard. Somebody told me. Somebody told me you were straight hating this morning. That's fine. We'll get
somebody
that addressed.
Somebody told me you starting Alex Lomax.
We'll get that addressed throughout the show. All right, when we come back, Mike Keith's going to join us, play-by-play man for the Tennessee Titans. We'll get his thoughts on the season for them, the game last night with the Texans, what that means in the division race, and more. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Wendy's famous 4-for-4 is heating up with the new Spicy Crispy Chicken Sandwich. The Queen of Spice is delivering that spicy chicken you love with lettuce and mayo between two deliciously soft buns. And yes, in classic 4-for-4 fashion, you can get all that spicy goodness with spicy or crispy nuggets, fries, and a drink to cool off, all for just $4. Is it getting hot in here? Or did Wendy's just deliver the hottest deal in fast food? We got you.
Offer includes 4-piece nuggets, junior fry, and value drink. Price and participation may vary.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. Dealing with battery problems? We've got you. Let's start with a free battery test. If you just need a free charge, we can help with that too. And if it's time for a new battery, we've got you covered. We're the only place you can find Duralast, the batteries more consumers choose. That's what makes us America's number one battery destination, where help is always in stock. Claims based on a proprietary consumer study and data from the NPD Group 2019.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Grab the usual suspects, pick your nearest or dearest trail, and get ready to leave your worries at base camp. Because Honda is here with a great getaway event to help our family of riders plan an escape from the routine. It's all happening now at DeSoto Honda in Olive Branch. That's where you'll find exclusive offers on your favorite Honda motorcycles, ATVs, and side-by-sides, like the 4-Trax Foreman. Built to never quit, it offers the comfort you need on long rides and work days. Plus, the bigger engine for 2020 means even more of the proven power you expect from a Honda ATV. Right now, you can ride off on the Foreman and save big with up to $600 in factory to dealer incentives on select models. Visit or call DeSoto Honda, 5656 Goodman Road in Olive Branch, and hatch a plan for adventure during the Honda Great Getaway Event. Factory to dealer incentives are good with select new and unregistered models. See dealer for complete program details.
Get down. Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
Paid the cost to be the boss. I paid the cost to be the boss.
Mike Keith is the voice of the Tennessee Titans. Their season gets underway. Obviously, last night, Texans kick off the season with the Chiefs. Lots to get to with him. He joins us now. Mike, how you doing, man? Appreciate the time, as always.
Oh, it's great to be with you guys. I'm so glad we got football, right?
Oh, it's
100%.
I do think it requires just a little bit of perspective, because there was a time not too long ago where I think we all wondered whether or not we're going to have it.
Well, and I think what you have to come down to in all of this, and, you know, it's known as the NFL, the no fun league, and Goodell's been criticized, you know, at various times, and rightfully so at certain moments. But you have to credit everybody associated with the NFL, because they aimed every bit of this offseason at September 10th. They said quite clearly, everything is on the table for discussion. We will be flexible. Now, gentlemen, I've worked in the National Football League for 23 years. Flexibility is not something the NFL has ever been known for. Because the football people want something, the players want something, the agents want something, the coaches want something, the owners want something. I mean, it's always something different. But everybody said, we're going to be flexible. Mm-hmm. If we have to change training camp, if we have to test every day, whatever they had to do, everybody worked together, because they said, we're trying to get to September 10th. And they reached their goal by being flexible, which I think is really impressive.
No, you're exactly right. I think they provided a real model, right? Unlike Major League Baseball, a real model as to how to do this thing and do it right. So there's no question about that. Mike, I got to tell you, I was watching that game last night, And I have two takeaways. One is that the Chiefs still awesome, actually, and also that the Texans are not. I saw an offense that was not anywhere close to as explosive as they were last year, clearly sorely missing DeAndre Hopkins, and that is really welcome news for the Tennessee Titans. What'd you think?
Well, here's what I think. 6 months ago, when they traded DeAndre Hopkins, I was on top of a mountain in Arizona. And I told my wife, I said, I want you to take a picture of me because I'm afraid of heights. I said, I'm going to climb to this high place and I'm going to stand out on what looks like this ledge because I'm so happy that DeAndre Hopkins is not in our division anymore. I am so happy that I don't ever have to, you know, it'll be 4 years before we see DeAndre Hopkins. Now, maybe we see him in the Super Bowl. Great. That means we made the Super Bowl. I'll live with it. But he was such a pain in our butt because he played seven of his 13 games against us. He went for over 100 yards.
Wow.
And he had a 200-yard game. I mean, the guy's crazy good. So, listen, I think Bill O'Brien's really smart. I'm a huge fan of Deshaun Watson, even though he plays in our division. I think they have a good defense. J.J. Watson, all-time great player. I get it. But you can't convince me they're better because DeAndre Hopkins is in Arizona. You cannot. You will not be able to convince anyone associated with the Tennessee Titans that was a bad thing for the Titans and the rest of the division. I think it's going to take them some time to figure out how they replace him, if they can at all. They have good players, and they may end up having a real good team. They may win the division again. Who knows? But you can't convince me, no matter what you do or say, that they are better off without DeAndre Hopkins.
No, I think both John and I are both with you on that. So you turn it to that other team in the AFC South, Indy, with its new quarterback and Phillip Rivers. Are you expecting, it sounds like, Mike, that in terms of the battle for this division, I mean, you said, you know, Houston could win it again, but is Indy the biggest competition? How much do you believe in Phillip Rivers united with Frank Reich and sort of that combination? Does he have anything left?
But now, just remember, 2 years ago, Houston started 0-3 and won the division.
That's true.
That's right. So, we can't count them out.
So I've probably seen way too much. And here's the thing that Houston has going for them as of today. They don't have to go back to Kansas City again. That's over with. And a lot of times getting your tough games out of the way early turns out to be a real boon. And so we'll see if that happens. I refuse to count Houston out.
Okay.
Not because I'm being in any way, shape, or form superstitious. I think they have a nice club. I really do.
Sure.
Indy's scary because Rivers is the perfect guy to go with that offensive line, that run game, and that defense. That's a good team. And if Phillip Rivers still has anything left, and I think he does, we've seen him the last 2 years, he could not have gone to a place where they will be able to utilize him better. Because here's the thing. He doesn't have to be 30-year-old Phillip Rivers to help them go deep into the playoffs. Because, man, they are – and who would have ever thought we'd have said this about Indy in the Peyton Manning days? But because they were the ultimate great finesse team, one of the greatest finesse teams of all time, now they're – one of the most physical teams in the NFL.
We are, of course, talking to Mike Keith, voice of the Tennessee Titans. You can catch him on Monday Night Football, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Mike Keith's, of course, going to be on the action. Mike, who is it more important for to sort of replicate the season that they had last year, Ryan Tannehill or Derrick Henry?
Ryan Tannehill, because he had one of the great seasons in NFL history. I mean, you guys probably know this stat, but this is rather amazing. Ryan Tannehill is one of only three quarterbacks in NFL history to complete 70% of his passes in a season where he averages over 9 yards per attempt. The other two are Sammy Baugh and Joe Montana. So if you give me the choice, I'll say, hey, give me that again, because that's historically – that in 101 years of the NFL, that's historically all-time good. I don't think he'll do that again.
Right.
So I'm being a little facetious in saying I hope that happens, but I do think it falls more on Tannehill, because if Tannehill is even in the neighborhood, he's a Pro Bowl quarterback again. And if he does that, the Tennessee Titans will be just fine.
How good is this defense going to be? Does Simmons come through, emerge in his second year? What kind of impact does Clowney make? How good can this defense be if healthy?
I don't know that you will say right away that they are the dominant superstar-type defense. I think it might take a minute because there are still some parts. You know, we don't know if Clowney plays Monday. We think he probably does. We don't know if Vic Beasley plays on Monday. Derek Roberson, a really good young edge rusher who situationally may end up being fantastic. You know, we don't know if he plays. We don't know who's calling the defense. We think it's Vrabel, but we don't know that. Right. And he had no preseason to work that out. So I think it may take the defense a while. It may end up being really good. You know, there's 7 first-round picks on that defense. And the other part of it, too, to me, is Jeffrey Simmons. Jeffrey Simmons is as good a prospect as we have had on the defensive side of the ball in the time that I've been here. Doesn't guarantee he's going to be a Pro Bowl player, you know? I mean, we don't know. But this young man is a phenomenal talent. He's a worker. He's healthy. He plays the run. He has pass rush ability. I mean, he's Albert Haynesworth-esque in that he can do both. A lot of those guys can't, you know. Some dudes are just in there to rush the passer. Right. Some are in there to just clog everything up. Jeffrey can do both. And Jeffrey is a pro. He has really put in the time. He was able to stay here in the offseason because he was less than a year removed from surgery. Even during COVID, he was able to go in and do rehab. And so Jeffrey not only is not wearing his knee brace anymore, he doesn't even know where it is.
Wow.
I asked him, I said, hey, did you sort of hang it up on the wall as a reminder? And he went, well, that's interesting. He goes, I don't even know where it is right now. And I said, that's a good sign.
Good for him.
Yep.
We're talking to Mike Keith, voice of the Tennessee Titans. Titans-Broncos on a Monday night right here on 92.9 FM. ESPN. Mike, I think there are certain players in this league who get contracts, who get paid, you know, Le'Veon Bell, and you see a little bit of a different effort. I don't think Derrick Henry is in that category. What do you expect from him after he gets this obviously big 4-year deal? What do you expect from him this season?
Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry's greatest weapon, outside of the fact that he's bigger than most people, which is obviously a good thing if you're playing football, his biggest weapon is his consistency. Derrick Henry is a consistent person. He's a consistent practice player. He's consistent in how he deals with the media. He's really no different than he was the day he walked through the door. Now, Derrick Henry knows who he is. Mm-hmm. You know, he knows he's a Heisman Trophy winner from Alabama. He knows he's the all-time record holder for high school. He knows he led the league in rushing last year. But Derrick's Derrick. And that's why when you ask me the question about is it more important for Tannehill or Henry, I know what Henry's going to do. You know, I 100% know what you're going to get out of him because he never changes. And it's really been impressive to watch what he does. I mean, you know, he already had a couple of bucks in the bank because of the whole Heisman Trophy thing. And, you know, he has an endorsement or two. He shows up different places. I don't think he was hurting for money. And so he didn't get caught up. He took the deal in July. He came in and said, let's do this. And it was a lot easier than what anybody thought it would be. But that's Derrick. Derrick wants to play, man. And he also rushed for 28 yards at Denver on Monday or last year. Don't be surprised if he doesn't have that at the end of the first drive.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, man, this is great stuff as always. We appreciate the time.
Thank you, Mike.
Good to catch up. We'll be listening on Monday, man. Thanks.
Be good, guys.
Yep. He is Mike Keith. Titans Broncos on Monday night right here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
MVP. They
better go 2-0 to start, because after that it gets real. We're going to learn a lot about this team before the bye. And Mike's right, maybe it takes a while for the defense, but they're going to have to be pretty good early. After those first two, you're at Denver, you got Jacksonville, which you figure, hell, Jacksonville's trying to lose in that one.
Yep.
You're at Minnesota, you got John's third favorite team in the AFC, Pittsburgh, next. Then you're a Buffalo team. Many are predicting to win the AFC East, got them coming here. And then an important divisional game against Houston before the bye week.
Yeah.
And so he mentioned Houston going 0-3, coming back to win the division. Titans won't be able to afford that. Now, nobody's predicting. There's no way you lose to Jacksonville. But you get off to a 1-2 start, it could get uglier. Because,
yep,
again, John's all-star Pittsburgh team could be coming at
that's right.
At Buffalo.
Well, it is.
And, again, a important divisional game.
Deontay Johnson for your ass.
That's all before. Then it eases up. Cincinnati, my Chicago team. Before you get to a couple important ones,
you're not the Bears anymore. You're the Chicago football team.
People are picking the Detroit Lions over us this weekend. That's how far it's fallen.
Well, they have
off.
Not been favored in a division game since 2017. Have the Lions, and they are apparently this
it's
weekend.
All because of who the starter is for the Bears. And I realize it's in Detroit and it's the beginning of the season. We didn't have a preseason, but that is the ultimate slap in the face that, boy, you ain't going to be nothing this year projecting the Lions to beat the Bears this weekend.
Now, speaking
of football, I think I'm going to have Sunday ticket on the Super Box.
Speaking of memes, like your Bears, they're a meme, right? They're a meme of a football team.
We shall see. Could be a sleeper.
I saw this meme on Facebook I thought was interesting. And it was like the whatever the number one song was on your 14th birthday on the Billboard Top 100 is what defines your life. And I looked up mine, and mine, the answer for me, is We Belong Together by Mariah Carey. You remember that jam?
How does that go?
Oh, baby, baby, we belong together.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.